Last week we considered how the Lord was desiring to give his disciples joy, right? And what type of joy was that? Heavenly joy, right? Remember, Jesus said, I want you to have my joy and I want your joy to be complete. And so we kind of set it up and talked about and distinguished between earthly joys and heavenly joys. And we didn't say earthly joys were bad, but we said that earthly joys were not enough, right? And no matter how many earthly joys, good things on this earth that people had, whether it's human relations or success, financial, anything, health, it's never going to be enough. And it's logical because if God made us for himself, if he made us for eternal things, the supernatural life, that means that we can't be satisfied until we're tasting the goodness of the Lord. And so what we want to do today is set up, well, how do we attain this joy that we're all, everybody is seeking, whether they're at church or they're not at church, because everybody is made for this. How do we attain this joy that Jesus wants to give and that will make our joy complete, that we'll be satisfied? Well, first of all, there's not a set of 12 steps or 3 steps or 6 steps to, you know, spiritual success or finding joy in the Lord, kind of like, you know, what's popular now as far as like whether it's financial success or succeeding in a particular field. It's like these, you know, losing weight, 6 steps, 3 steps, all of these different programs. Those things can be helpful, but we can't reduce the interior life to a set of steps. I kind of think of it as it's not so much of what we're doing, but that we're doing something. That's the most important part. I kind of think about it in relationship to using weightlifting as an analogy. I started lifting weights when I was like 10 years old, and I'm still able to do that today. And over the years, I read so much and listened to so many talks about like what the perfect or best workouts were. And sometimes when people go to the gym, they're like, you know, what's the best way to, you know, to gain strength with your biceps or chest, or you want to build size, whatever it might be. And I finally came to the conclusion it's not like the magical workout. It's just get your rear end into the gym and do something. You know what I'm saying? Well, it's the same thing with the spiritual life. It's not like what's the perfect devotion or what's exact, you know, the perfect recipe of spiritual devotions and worship that will result in, you know, perfect joy, attainment of perfection in the spiritual life. There are some things that are more helpful than other things, but the most important thing is that we're getting in and we're doing something. We're going forward. Another element that's necessary to attain spiritual joy, heavenly joy, is that there has to be a pursuit of doing this with a sense of being all in. If we want to attain heavenly joy, halfways will not get us there. And you can compare this in an analogous way with love. If you're half into a relationship, there's not much joy, there's not much happiness, anticipation of, you know, life in that relationship. It's only within a marriage, if the spouses are not all in, then it's just going to diminish and crumble. So since God is love, we have to be, it requires us to be all in. I think a lot of times why we don't experience spiritual joy is that we're only partially in. We have to jump in. So coming with that attitude, okay, I'm going to be all in. Now, we can go at it as far as like what one needs to do in a number of different ways. I mean, hundreds of different ways. But what I'd like to take a look at is one way that's especially, I think, relevant for right now at this time in the church. As Pope Francis, declared about a month and a half ago that starting December 8th, there would be a special holy year of mercy. So, and what a great theme, what a great gift to focus on as a way to experiencing the joy of the Lord, to live in the mercy of the Lord. And so how do we live in mercy so as to attain what our souls are looking for. This deep, profound delight that we all want. Well, about, like I think it was in September of 2014, Pope Francis beatified a Spanish bishop or Spanish priest who was with the Opus Dei order, and his name was Amaro del Portillo, and it's Alvaro del Portillo, and so he's a blessed right now, and the Pope was not there for the beatification, but he wrote a letter that was read, and he talked, and he wrote in the letter how he really liked this, Blessed Alvaro's spirituality, which was very simple. He said, what Blessed Alvaro would do is throughout the day, he would repeat three things. Gracias, perdón, and ayúdame. And that contained his entire spirituality, and Pope Francis says that that's something that he practices himself. And I would venture to say that all three of those, gracias, thank you, perdón, I'm sorry, and ayúdame, help me, are the three manifestations of mercy. They're all directly flow from the fount of God's mercy. And so what we'll do is just tend to take a look at one of them today, and that is the first, gracias. The importance of gratitude for the interior life and for experiencing the joy of the Lord. The ungrateful person cannot experience heavenly joy. It's impossible. All right? So gladness is always associated with gratitude. And so, gracias, what does that mean for us? That means, as St. Paul says, that we need to dedicate ourselves to be thankful in all circumstances. That is not easy. And being intentional about this, because it's not our automatic position, it's not automatic for us to just to be thankful. Sometimes we are, but oftentimes we're not. Because of our fallen human nature, our first movement, our first impulse is often ingratitude. So we have to, you might say we have to work to remain in gratitude. We have to work at it each and every day. Think about this, you know, in regards to what the saints have said, and even with the stewardship way of life. St. Ignatius of Loyola, master of the spiritual life, in his spiritual exercises, in the meditation to attain God's love. How does one attain God's love? He has a whole reflection for the person, but he starts it off with the persons who is doing this meditation with this intention or this petition. Lord, give me an intimate knowledge of the many blessings received so that full of gratitude I may love you and serve you in all things. So hear me out here. The end is loving and serving God in all things, right? That's not the starting point. He says, give me an intimate knowledge. Give me appreciation of all the good things that I've received. So then what? When I have this appreciation, I'm full of gratitude. And then out of that gratitude, I love you and serve you in all things. So basically, he's laying that out there that if we don't have gratitude, it's not possible for good works to flow from our lives. Think about, now let's just take this to stewardship. How do we understand stewardship? The living out of our discipleship as stewards of the Lord. Well, I'll ask this question. What's the definition of stewardship? Somebody better raise their hand. What's the definition of stewardship? Good job, Jude. I knew you'd come through. Perfect. That deserves some cash. All right. Okay. The grateful response of a Christian disciple who recognizes and receives God's gifts and shares these gifts in love of God and neighbor. So when we talk about the whole stewardship way of life, a lot of times we're focusing on time, talent, and treasure, what we offer. But the way that it's set up, the foundation of it, the stewardship way of life? It's how does it start? The first word is the grateful response of the Christian disciple who recognizes and receives God's gifts and then shares these gifts in love of God and neighbor. Can you see how closely connected that is with St. Ignatius' own prayer? Give me an intimate knowledge of the many blessings received so that full of gratitude I may love you and serve you in all things. So the whole stewardship framework and way of life begins with being grateful. You're going to find that theme permeated all throughout the lives of the saints. And what's interesting is that the saints often are not just thankful for the good things that happen to them, but also for the sufferings that they incur. Does that mean that I love suffering. Well, St. Augustine says nobody likes suffering for suffering's sake. It's because what comes out of suffering that I'm grateful. So many things can happen out in our lives, things that we suffer, even injustices, and we come out of them better. Something changes in us. That's what St. Augustine's trying to say. So living in a state, having a permanent, firm disposition as a grateful person. Keep in mind that gratitude is not a feeling. I wish it were. That would make it so easy. Because a lot of times, we won't feel grateful, even when people have been very generous with us. A lot of times, unfortunately, we don't have grateful feelings towards our parents, right? Who have given us more than anyone else. Gratitude, my friends, is a choice. It's a decision. I decide to be grateful. I choose to receive what I have as a gift, not something I take and that I have a right to. Here's the thing. It's not a sterile exercise that you're just pushing forward your effort to choose to be grateful. The Holy Spirit is constantly driving our hearts and our minds to be grateful people. So when we put our minds to it and we work at it to remain in gratitude, what happens is the Holy Spirit comes along and deepens and permeates our hearts with a gratitude that is filled with joy. It's one of the best ways that we can work with the Holy Spirit. We open up ourselves to the Holy Spirit in a profound way when we are intentionally grateful. So what we've discussed today is the first of three steps of living in mercy so that we might attain heavenly joy. Gracias, being grateful. I end with this. The best model for being a grateful person is Christ himself, right? Think about the most important part of the Mass in just a few minutes. On the night he was betrayed. So this is the worst part of his life. It couldn't be going any worse. His friends are going to be betraying him. On the night he was betrayed, he became cynical and decided to ascend into heaven that the earth might burn. No, that's not what he said. He said what? He took bread and gave thanks. So that's the first step. He gave thanks in the worst of moments of his life, the worst circumstances of his life. And then what did he do? Out of that gratitude, he said, take this. This is my body, which will be given up for you. So out of gratitude comes the gift of self to others and to God. And so we ask the Holy Spirit to help us to imitate that same gratitude and that same service in our own lives.